Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the show. If you want to join us, you can do that here. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. We are digging in further into Jay's list here from, keep forgetting the name of the website, of course,
Force Network.
Was it .com?
I think so.
ForceNetwork.com, about 16 reasons why a kid should have access to a horse growing up, or as you, Jay, put it, other farm animals. And there's other ways to learn some of these lessons, so obviously if that's not, you know, like I was saying before, my parents never took me to a horse farm, but they definitely they inculcated me with a lot of these same lessons, just in a different way, like by taking me to work when I was a kid and teaching me how to, you know, do customer service and smile and, you know, answer phones and run a cash register. And
so your parents are entrepreneurs?
They are, yeah. Yeah. And you've said before that the kids of entrepreneurs tend to be
right,
better adjusted than others.
They have work ethic.
Yeah. And you know, and when I wasn't a kid when I got my dog Jazzy, but we were talking about training horses, and same thing's true with dogs. You know, if you don't start from day one and establish that the dominance over them, not in a painful way, but in, you know, just the pack hierarchy.
All your shoes get ate.
Yeah, if you don't, then they're going to mess up. They're going to mess your house up, right? And so that's a very important thing to do, and that requires a lot of patience. Training a dog, just like I'm sure a horse, requires a ton of patience if you want to do it the right way.
And then training kids. So, like, the thing is you have, when it comes to training kids, you have a very, very short window on mm-hmm. imprinting kids. 6 years, 7 years, that window is done. So basically from day one to 6 or 7 years is all you got to, mm-hmm. to make that kid what he or she is basically going to grow up to be as an adult. The brain, the frontal lobe of the brain developing is sort of done by the, like, 5 year time. And if any of that time is in front of an internet device for the kid, the neurological pathways actually get rooted to a different part of the brain. They get rooted to the, instead of the part of the brain that is for logic and reasoning, the neurological pathways get created to the part of the brain that is being stimulated by the internet device, which is the same part of the brain that's stimulated by cocaine. That's why they call internet devices digital cocaine. Mm-hmm. The psychiatrists and, you know, that psychiatry community. And also the same part of the brain that gets excited when you're in rage. So this is the reason I believe that a lot of, the 18, 20-year-olds, the people who sort of grew up with internet devices in cities, because 20 years ago there was high-speed internet in pretty much almost every major city. In 1999, UMass at Amherst, where a bunch of my friends got, like, the coolest thing that they thought that happened was high-speed internet because, mm-hmm. wow, check out the porn. This is so cool. That's what they were really the big thing. And you didn't have that because I still had dial-up in 1999, you know, in the world, you know.
Yeah, you had to get your friend's dad's Playboy magazine.
Right.
And pass that around.
Right, man. All my friends were over. My dad had a stack, you know. They're always in the bathroom. But, you know, if I'd had broadband when I was a teenager, I don't know what
difference it would out. Be.
Well, you're not even as a teenager, but now that the broadband high speed is little kids, this is why we have a bunch of adults now, young adults, that have, that I call them algorithmic slaves, because the algorithm is controlling them. Just like Leola said, you give me your kid until he's seven, I'll control him for life. Well, if you're going to give your kid to Google, Google's going to control your, while his brain is developing, they're going to control the kid to life. So, and the problem is like a lot of kids, are on devices instead of being outside, instead of doing real frontal lobe development, like getting hurt, tripping and falling down. Now that makes a neurological pathway you know, to the
park. Yeah, now they don't even want to let kids go to the park anymore. You can't even, some of these governments won't even let your kids leave the house without parental monitoring. I mean, there's all kinds
of. All of these things seem to be on purpose to a direction of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, direction of algorithmic
obedience.
Slaves. Keep them in the house. Keep them looking at the internet devices. The internet devices are basically free. They have replaced a babysitter. They are the modern day digital pacifier. And you are creating right now an army of algorithmic slaves has been
well, and they're fear based. It's fear based, right? Because oh god, yeah. You can't leave the house. You might get kidnapped, or you might get hit by a car, or whatever. There's always some fear. I saw somebody made a map. It looked like it was in Great Britain or something, like, just based on the names, and it showed generations how far the child of each generation was able to travel. So it was like great-grandfather was able to go all over the place, right? Like everywhere. Yes, whatever the age was, a child. And then, like, grandfather, a little smaller. You didn't have as much of a territory. Father, way smaller. Actually, I think it was female, so it was mother. And then the current generation, which was like you can't even leave the yard, essentially. You can't go down the street.
Man, we were like, when the streetlights come on, you know, if you had streetlights, you know, be home, otherwise go play.
Yeah.
You know, how far did my bike take me? My parents were kind of concerned. You know, oh yeah, we went down to, God, that's like 20 miles away.
Yeah.
You know,
no cell phone. I used to call ride home.
I remember being like 11, 12 years old. We, you know, there was like the BMX bandits were a thing that we thought was cool because that's what we had was bicycles.
The bike. Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, my 20-inch BMX bike, me and my buddies, we would ride that to Mount Monadnock from Palmer, Massachusetts. It was like
that's a long way.
60-mile ride. Western Mass.
Probably 2 hours in a car.
We'd leave it like, you know, early in the morning, a handful of us, and just go do it. And we would just stop at a creek and drink water out of the creek or the Swift River or whatever. I think it was Mount Monadnock we went to. It was in Massachusetts. No, Monadnock's not is in New Hampshire, right?
Monadnock's New Hampshire.
No, this was
Dublin, New Hampshire.
I'm trying to think of a mountain in Massachusetts. It was, anyways, you basically ride, you know, north.
How long would you ride for?
It took us like 4.5 hours to get there.
Okay.
And it would
and
take
climb
us,
the mountain and then come back down.
You know, all on bikes. And we would go do that every once in a while. And, you know, and a couple of kids that came with us, like we got back to my parents' house in town and, their one kid's mother was just raging. I didn't know you were going on this. You know, cause they're like, oh, they went up to Mount, I'll remember the name of the mountain in a minute, but it's like the tallest mountain in Massachusetts. And, Mount Greylock, I think it's called. But we're like, my dad's like, they rode up to mountain so-and-so. Who's with them? I don't know. It's a bunch of kids. They can do it. You know, and we'd be out, and like in the summertime, you know, sometimes, like if my dad was at a horse auction, and I remember my stepmom worked second shift, and, she worked first shift. That's what it was. So she was like, go to sleep, and we'd just be out bike ride until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. As long as we go home before my dad got home from the horse auction, we were probably all right. But I can remember one time my dad's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, you know, sees us on the side road. He's like, throw your bicycles in the back of the truck and get in it. What the hell? He's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're just riding around with our friends. And he's like, why? You know, and we didn't really get in trouble for it, but we did that all the time.
Let's go to number 16 on your list here, Jay, of 16 reasons why kids should have access to horse growing up.
Riding provides a long life source of joy. So the article ends there. There's really no commentary on it. But like I was saying, this is very true. There is a lot of, unstable women, I'm going to say, because it's been my experience in the horse business, that don't have any kids. They're older. And actually, I believe that. So that's going to be, I believe the horse business is going to stay kind of stable in the future, even though horses are expensive, because we have a large epidemic of middle-aged women that are childless or middle-aged women that are single and maybe their kids are growing up now and they're empty nesters, so they have a little extra money. And the horse becomes sort of the replacement. You know, it takes that nurturing, effect into consideration. So especially a lot of the customers that my dad had over the years were women that the kids have been gone for 2 or 3 years. Out of the house, they're empty nesters, and they're in their 40s or 50s, and they would just buy themselves an old quiet horse to go just ride around on. And I think it does provide a lot of joy, and also
mental health. Were any of these women horse trained as teenagers and they got back into it, or it's just like, okay, now I'm going to get a horse?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. So, yes, some of them were, and some of them, like the one girl, the one woman, Pat, I remember I was about 12 or 13 years old when she bought a horse, and she's like, oh, my kids are, you know, just out of their... Her kids actually were still in school, or they were in high school or something, but she always wanted a horse, and she just, you know, they were able to make
it
happen.
Afford it.
Yeah, she had a good job. The husband had a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, their kids actually were very good kids. Both of her kids worked, you know, all through high school, and she made those kids work. And there was a lot of that, you know, those people that we met and did business with, you know, because, you know, if you don't have kids, you can probably afford a horse.
Sure.
And the thing is, getting into a horse program now for a kid, like if you're a parent listening to this and you'd like your kids to do that, you know, you can just go buy riding lessons. You can actually lease a horse so you don't have all that responsibility. And even there's like a really good place I love to shout out. It's called Ebony Horsewomen Riders, and it's in Hartford, Connecticut, Vine Street in Hartford, which is like the north western corner of Hartford, and it is like a hardcore ghetto. You drive through like a really, really rough neighborhood, and you go to this riding stable, and they are the sweetest, most polite people there. I did business with these guys for a lot of years. Anybody can show up there. Anybody can get on a horse. They're just like very much want you to be polite. No cursing, you know, no smoking, no drinking. So in order to like get through that program as a kid, you have to be polite. You have to be respectful. They've been a nonprofit for like 25 years down there. Their farm is basically on some like city property, and, Ebony Horsewomen, if you just internet search them, they got a big Facebook, presence, and they do all kinds of parades and stuff.
Are they black?
Oh yeah, well
the horses black.
Ebony, I would imagine
the owner's black.
Yeah, so the Patricia Kelly, who owns it, is she's black. They're all black. And actually, when I would go there and deliver hay, I was the only white guy, the only white man person there. And I will tell you, being the only white guy hanging out with a whole bunch of black city ghetto kids, I never ever felt uncomfortable.
That's cool.
Always felt very welcome. They were very nice people. So, for example, there's this one kid, Fred. He was like 12 when I first met him years ago. He was just, you know, I don't know what his situation is. You know, he lived over there in a ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I just come to the stable. People are nice here.
Something positive he can do. You know?
Kept him out of the gangs.
Yeah.
Kept
him
out of the drug culture. And now he's a professional horseshoer.
Cool.
And he's like my brother. He's killing it. He's shoeing horses all over the place. He's, you know, participating in like, you know, youth reach out events to get kids involved and stuff. And I think he's taking on Apprentice. I'm pretty sure that's happening. And I haven't talked to him in a few years. I was on the Ebony Horsewomen website a couple weeks ago, just looking at some stuff. And I saw some pictures of him, but there's great opportunities. And also, like, if you're like a single mom living in like a city urban area, almost every city in the country has urban farms. They're everywhere, especially like Denver, Phoenix, a lot of your like Midwest cities that like are cities that grew up around farms. There's like some of these little farms here and there, and they're like, they've become nonprofits, so they don't have to pay taxes and they can still function as like a farm. And there's all kinds of great, like, you know, things kids can do with all kinds of animals, not only horses. But like the urban farm thing is a really good thing, if you're in a city, because I feel like the biggest problem that kids are going to have are the ones growing up in the cities. They're going to have the biggest hurdles, you know, in the urban areas. And also, like, the people, the moms, you know, especially single moms, are going to be limited on resources. And getting your kids into a horse operation of some sort, around a city or an urban farm, is going to be just pay out so well, especially if you don't really have any, you know, other options.
Hmm. Are these usually like on the outskirts, like you were saying in Hartford? It's not in the actual city, but it's still in the...
So it's definitely in the actual city, like, but it's like right on a piece of a little like city park or state park. It's on the very northwest. If you look at a map of Hartford, it's like the northwest corner. Hmm. And then there's the Blue Ridge Mountains, not Blue Ridge, I can't remember what they call those mountains. There's these big mountains. There's like a state park there, and then it's Bloomfield, Connecticut, which is a very, you know, rich, upscale, you know, like a mile to the, you know, to the west of this. But yeah, and there's like trails there they can ride and stuff too.
So if you look, you'll find these things.
Yeah, you'll find these things. Mm-hmm. But just look up urban farms.
Okay.
In any city or any geographical area you are, if you're looking to get your kids dirty and doing some farming and actually doing a little work. And another thing I want to say is if you have 4 or 5 kids, or even one kid, get them to just any farm anywhere and befriend that farmer and put your kids to work for that farmer. Help out that farmer, because when food situations gets tough, you can't just show up at the local farmer's farm stand expecting to get food from him when you haven't even, you don't even know the guy's name, for example, because the grocery store is empty. Like a friend of mine goes, oh, New Hampshire's great. There's farm stores everywhere. When a grocery store is empty, I'm going to go to my local farm stand. I go, okay, what? Do you know which one you're going to go to? Oh, yeah, this one's so-and-so. Okay, what's that guy's name? Oh, I don't know. Have you ever bought anything? Well, I bought like $20 worth of stuff there a year ago. I go, well, how come you're not in there every week buying stuff?
You got to build a relationship.
So if you and your family and your kids, especially if you're like a single mom that like needs to do something with these kids, getting them to work in some kind of farm situation, like, and you might have to go a few different places because some people are going to be skeptical. They're worried about liability. But if you can prove that your kids are an ad, they're an asset to that farm, mm-hmm. it's worth it for that farmer to have them around. Your kids are going to be light years ahead of their peers just because of the fact that they got to do some real world work. And it's also like an insurance policy if it gets to the point to where, you know, food's really expensive because of financial situations, or there's famines, or there's wars, or there's a dollar collapse, or any
guys,
of this
you're
stuff.
Talking about all next week.
You got access to the source.
So basically, you may have access to a source, and you're going to be first in line if you're an asset to that farmer. So that's really what I accept, you know, what a lot of families need to start looking at doing that aren't farming themselves.
Check him out over at jaynoon.com. He's doing some fundraising for Man Camp at JAYNOONE. Let's go to the phones here. I got the caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
This is Richard again, man. I just
Richard, I'm sorry to say we only do one call per night, so we don't have a whole lot of rules here on Free Talk Live, but there is the rule of one call per night, and the reason is we want to make sure there's room for other people to get in here. We don't have, like, the same three people on the phones constantly. So give us a call any other night of the week. We are here 7 nights a week. We'd be happy to hear from you then. Thank you. Let's continue here. Jimmy is on the line in Florida. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Well, hi, guys. You know you're canceled down here, so
canceled?
I'm trying to figure out what happened. What happened here?
I don't know. That's news to me. Are you talking about on the Daytona Beach WNDB?
Yes, yes. They canceled you and put on a rerun of a conservative thing. I couldn't believe it. Ready.
That's too bad. I'll have to make a note about that and check into it. Thanks for the heads up on it.
I just want to let you know I didn't complain about you. I had nothing to do with that, okay?
All right, well, were you calling about anything else besides just to let us know?
No, I just wanted to let you know that I didn't have anything to do with that. You know, they made that decision.
All right, Jimmy. Well, thank you.
It wasn't me.
Well, my daughter's
I've been negative and really down on Bonnie and everything and you guys, but that wasn't me. I didn't.
Okay, very good, Jimmy. We'll make sure to make a note. Thanks for the call tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, things change. Conservative sometimes, conservative talk stations, they don't like Free Talk Live, right? Like, we don't agree with them on a bunch of stuff. There's some things we agree with conservatives on, but not everything. In fact, this has been one of the controversies recently about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I don't know if you picked up on this at all, Ernie, with this Maj Tour guy.
Yeah, I know who Maj is.
Yeah, did you hear about what he threatened to do at Porkfest?
No.
He said if there was anybody doing a drag queen story hour in his community, quote unquote, he didn't specifically say Porkfest, that he was going to come roll up and assault the person. And then when he got out of jail, he'd come back and do it again. And so that.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was just shortly after getting a deal with Porkfest to be a speaker at this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival. And so Bonnie got in a response to him online, and she says, oh, well, then you shouldn't come to Porkfest because we're going to have a ton of drag queen story hours going on all over the place.
No, you're not.
Well,
that's what she said.
I'm not a big fan, you know, but...
here's the thing. Drag queen story hour at the strip joint where there's a neon sign that says it won't suck itself. or it won't lick itself or whatever. I can't remember what this thing was.
You're referring to a video that was online.
So I'm referring to a video.
That wasn't a drag queen story hour either.
Well, that was a like a drag sheen trialed whatever show. I don't know if it was a story hour. But yeah. So there's some confusion here. Some dude dressed up in all kinds of makeup and a huge whatever, you know, outfit, whatever, yeah. They decked themselves out, reading a book to kids, is really not a big deal. A lot of this is being confused with the whole sexualizing of the, like, the stripper-type mentality kind of thing with the drag queens.
It is definitely being confused for that,
and,
yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Like, some clarifications very much need to be made.
But these conservatives, they don't want to hear it.
Okay, okay, I'm old, all right? So yeah. Explain me the distinction here. What are we
you
talking
about? You've never seen a drag show? In your 62 years, you've never seen a drag show?
Yeah, you know, not lately. You know, there's a difference. I mean, it started off with like, RuPaul was fun and whatever. But man, this is really going. They're pressing the edge of the envelope just to be dicks. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. You know, and especially when it's with children. I mean, they always push it to the. They want a reaction.
Who's they?
The people that would sexualize or market young children because they don't reproduce.
Is that
they
what's
recruit.
Going on though? I mean, is that what Drag Queen Story Hour is doing? Because I understand that's what the conservatives believe about it.
I don't buy it. Okay, well, explain it to me.
I mean, look, I can't explain a drag queen story hour because I've never actually seen one, okay? But I have been to a few drag shows in my lifetime, including one last year here in Keene. And
I wouldn't take my children.
Maybe you wouldn't,
right.
But some people did.
You know,
my parents took me to R-rated movies when I was a kid, and some people wouldn't do that with their children either, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Ernie.
Dad did.
Yeah. When was your first R-rated movie?
Hell, I don't know. When I was a kid, we had a drive-thru across the street, and then I saw boobs when
You've
I was
some,
freaking, you know, young. But
you saw some sex scenes in some movies as a kid?
I think I saw Shampoo with Warren Beatty when I was in junior high with my dad. We went and I, you know, whatever.
Did he make you hide your eyes for the sex scene or anything like that, or were you able to
see it? My dad was, no, he was, you know.
That's general. Probably more salacious. Than what you're going to see at a drag show.
That's not, you know, I don't see the benefit to, why is it children at libraries doing drag? I mean, why would they push that? I'm not understanding the benefit to whom.
Well, I mean, that's for that family to decide, right? Like if for whatever reason that family, I can't put myself in their shoes necessarily, although I'm not against it. I'm not necessarily like going to run to go attend one either. But I think that if I had to try to put myself in their shoes to explain that the answer to your question, it would be like, you know, I want my kids to be more accepting. I want my kids to not be afraid of people who are different from them. That might be a reason for it.
I'm not outlawing, you know, but then you get into taxpayer funding.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. Sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
Which obviously wouldn't be happening at Porkfest if such a thing went on, right? So we're going to continue here in a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
USA USA News update. Local officers in southern border towns raising concern about the current surge of immigration. West Texas DPS Regional Director Jose Sanchez says the situation is a disaster and the Biden administration is to blame.
What were you doing during the 2 years? Why are you waiting till now on D-Day of the end of Title 42 to start deploying resources and coming up with a plan?
Sanchez says he has not gotten any help from the feds and worries there may be civil unrest soon. The Biden administration also now directing Customs and Border Protection to begin releasing immigrants into the country without court dates or the ability to track them. The head of J.P. Morgan Chase is warning that a U.S. default could cause a financial panic. In an interview with Bloomberg TV, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon said the bank will begin daily meetings about the debt ceiling on May 21st. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and we have time for you. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Ernest Hancock,
and Jay Noon.
Ernie's here from his radio show, which is Declare Your Independence. You can download it. You can listen to it over at freedomsphoenix.com. And they still have, like, the latest news headlines and stuff and all that going on over there, too, right?
Best.
Yeah, nice.
You know, freedomsphoenix.com is, like, it's a news aggregator I've been doing since 05.
That's a long run for
the
a website.
The show has been since 03.
Wow.
And I've been doing this. Yeah. I've been an activist since 88. So, I mean, I got a story for everything.
So check him out there any old time. He's still doing daily shows over at freedomsphoenix.com. Let's go to Nikki. She's listening to us on the radio in Tennessee and Chattanooga to WGOW. Go ahead, Nikki.
Hey, first of all, Jay, I just want to let you know that I love you. You're like my hero. Second of all, like about this whole like cross-dresser like story hour thing, I'm going to be honest, I'm a hardcore conservative, you know, the whole gun-toting, Bible-thumping, all that fun stereotypical stuff. Mm-hmm. That's me. But I'm also a good parent, and I don't understand why, as a good parent, if I chose not to take my child to that it should be an issue. Why is that an issue? I mean, there's lots of places I don't take my children.
You're saying, just to understand what you're saying if you don't want to go there, it's not an issue to you if other parents do.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that would, to me, that would be somebody who understands the idea of liberty, meaning that you don't have to raise your kids the same way as everybody else, and you don't want to force.
Yes, you do.
You don't want to force your viewpoint.
I'm going to tell you how to do it.
You don't want to force your viewpoint down somebody else's throat, because you probably understand that you wouldn't want them to do that to you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't understand why there's so much drama about something that you don't have to attend. Nobody
I don't either.
Is holding a gun to anyone's head.
This is, to me, I completely agree with you on this, Nikki. And to me, what you're expressing is a libertarian viewpoint. Maybe you are culturally conservative, but the difference between conservatives and libertarians on this issue is what you're saying is the libertarian view. It's like, hey, you do how you do it, your family's, my family's over here, we're going to do it how we do it. But the conservatives say, no, you must raise your family by our value set, or we're going to use violence against you. And that is exactly what they're saying. When they say, oh, my God, this, they'll say things like drag queen story hour or drag shows is, quote, unquote, child abuse. And when somebody says that child abuse is happening, that usually the next thing that comes out of their mouth is, well, we have to stop it, right? Because abuse is really, really bad stuff, and you got to stop abuse. You got to take the kids out of a home or whatever. These people really believe that they can use violence or the threat of violence to actually change the value set of a set of parents that they do not understand, right? These parents say...
Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah. If someone were to force my children or my grandchildren to attend one of these things, I would break bad.
Well, sure. Anytime anybody forces your kids to do something,
it's bad. Where's the line, Ian? Where would you put the line? Is it... You know, tax-funded facilities, schools,
anything
libraries.
Anything that involves force, like she said, if force is involved, if your kids are being forced to go to some of these, whether it's at a government school or whatever, whatever the situation, parents who are making their kids do something against their will. I mean, I think that force is the issue.
At these days, I mean, I have attended, but we have a lot of stories in Freedom's Phoenix on this kind of stuff. And, of course, it's always the sensationalized, you know, one side or the other. That's why I put up everything. I don't care. I don't even read it. I don't care. You want to discuss it, you want to know about it, here's what happened. But it's, I'm wondering what the purpose is, you know, to make it so as flamboyant as possible, to have... The children,
drag by its nature is flamboyant, right?
You know, it seems that, you know, really hypersexualized and...
Not drag, not really.
It's intentional.
Not drag.
Well,
drag's just cross-dressing. That's where the conservatives are missing the boat on this, is they don't know what drag
but
is.
But it doesn't... Drag community, whatever the heck, you know, I'm not even sure what segment this is. But
it's men who dress as women, typically, although there, I guess, are some women who dress as men.
No, I mean, it's way over the top intentionally. I'm talking to Ian.
It is.
You know, he is a freaking activist of Keniac of, you know, do a man, if he doesn't, you know, piss off everybody, he's not doing it right. I mean, you know, so I'm just like, I'm wondering what the result is expected, what they're looking to do.
I think that would be an interesting question to ask parents who would bring their kids to a drag show and see what their answer to that would be, which I suspect
would
be very,
very,
very different.
Interesting.
I think it would be very, very different than, say, a set of conservative parents answering the question of why do you take your kids to church? Because there are a lot of people who, let's say they're critical of organized religion, who would say that they think that is abusive to those kids. Now, does that mean that those kids should be forced from those parents' hands by the threat of violence? No, of course not. In the same way that parents who are taking their kids to a drag show that some people think is quote-unquote abusive, they should also be left alone to make these decisions.
The problem is there's videos out there, like there's one where it's allegedly some kind of drag show, and it's like this old man, this old white guy is in like a, you know, basically a bikini-type thing, G-string thing, and he's like basically like dancing for little kids, and like little kids are like putting dollar bills in like his G-string thing.
By definition, that is not a drag show.
Correct. That is not a drag show. But
that sounds more like a burlesque show or a strip show.
Wondering where the line is.
But this is what's getting wrapped up into these drag shows, because so if we just take the term drag queen story hour, so Aria is, you know, in all this, you know, big poofy dress.
Which she wouldn't do.
And,
she's
like,
not
makeup. Or, you know, she's probably just going to do it in her normal attire. But like the one drag show I saw, like, there wasn't, like, really any, like, you know, butt or skin or anything showing, because they were wearing, like...
Full-on costumes.
Full-on costumes. Right. They had heavy-duty makeup on. They looked
like
dudes.
Dancing.
They looked like chicks until they talked, Yeah, and they were dudes. They weren't like doing the voice thing. They were like using their you know. And a couple of, and this was in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Sure.
It was like, I don't know, 1999 or 98. And I was just out of high school. And I remember talking to a couple of these guys afterwards. And they were like, so I'm like, are you guys gay? And I'm like, oh, some of them are gay, but I'm not gay. You know, one guy says. Okay. And there was like two or three of these guys. But actually, one guy had this like really good looking woman with him. It was his wife or his girlfriend or something. I'm like, oh, I thought all you guys were gay. And he's like, oh, I'm not gay. I'm just a performer. And and he's, you know, and they got
I'm
like
cute, give me money.
And like so like like I don't find that offensive, but like this stuff that, you know, is being, you know, portrayed as you know, the sexual stuff, that it's in a strip joint, it's, you know, that kind of like mentality that they're calling drag queen story hour, or drag queen show that kids are going to. And then if the story hour content is like drag queen story hour and the drag queen is reading like genderqueer to a bunch of young children, or one of these other sort of, you know.
Well, at Porcupine Freedom Festival, it would be probably like Tuttle Twins or some libertarian
like,
book.
That's fine.
Or whatever, right?
And like, even when I heard that Aria is gonna do, or I don't know, sorry, but I assume Aria is gonna do a drag queen story hour.
Not Aria. She's not into that.
Okay.
Aria is a trans person.
So
Aria is different from a drag
queen. So is Aria gonna read stories to children?
I've not heard anything about
that.
I don't know why I thought it was Aria. That would be a trans story hour or something like that, which is completely different.
So when so when I heard all of this,
at like, the end of the day, a drag queen goes home and it's a guy.
Okay, all right.
Aria is like full on female all the time. Right?
When I heard that there was, that I thought for some reason I thought it was Aria was going to be doing this, reading this book, and then I heard that like this other.
I mean,
guy,
she might. I don't know.
This other guy, Maj, was like looking to do violence. I was actually more interested in just being there standing next to Aria to, as just like muscle in case somebody was seriously, because, you know, Aria, you know, she shouldn't be being attacked for reading a book.
No, absolutely not.
And if some like some random dude wearing, you know, girls clothes is going to, you know, read a book, I'm not sure I have really any interest in like bringing my kids to that. I would want to know what the book is. Mm-hmm. If it was a Tuttle Twins book, I would probably, you know, it might be ones that my kids already know, which that would be kind of cool for someone to read a book that my kids have already, because we got all the Tuttle Twins. I read those to my kids.
But here's the thing with like some of the people that were losing their minds over this online. One of them was this lady who was saying she's not going to Pork Fest. She's not going to bring her kids to Pork Fest. She didn't, and it was pointed out to her, it's like, you don't, it's like an 11-acre campground, lady. You don't have to go with your kids to the place where the drag event is happening, whether it's a drag queen story hour or whether it's a straight up drag show or whatever. Like, you don't have to go there with them. And she's like, well, they would still be walking around the campsite. So, like, she just didn't want them to even see cross-dressing.
They're out there.
Don't go.
I agree. And that's the thing.
A couple of years they
you
had.
You don't belong in a place like the Porcupine Freedom Festival if you're trying to tell other people what they should be doing.
They had, for a couple of years there, they had the Bondage and Discipline Dome. You know?
Yes. Yeah,
I chose not to attend. But, you know, it was there. And I remember that year.
And it was private. You had to go into a dome. It wasn't like open to see anybody walking by.
Yeah. So they had, and a lot of them, there wasn't anybody I wanted to see anyway. But, you know,
probably not.
But the CNN was there. And he ended this piece that he did going around talking to a bunch of us and everything. Mm-hmm. And he ended the piece, well, you know. You know, freedom, we got the, you know, Bondage Discipline Dome behind me, kids playing over here, and fires, and, you know, marshmallows, that's, you know, Pork Fest.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
That was big advertising. I mean, you know, hell, we go, oh, crap, I'll go there, you know. So it was, like you were saying, it was isolated. It was a big dome, that a geodesic dome that they had there with a black covering or whatever. And we've had Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party early on. Mm-hmm. I remember
6 years of it.
Yeah, for years. It was Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party. And, of course, you know, Ian had the fine hats and he was having fun. But the I loved to go to that. It was fun.
It was so much fun.
I helped Buzz build and do the kind of deal. Yeah. You know, she was awesome. You know, she's gay. And she was a contractor. You know, she did remodeling on houses. So she built, you know, there was a lot of fun. You know, it wasn't this you know, sexualized.
No, it wasn't lewd.
It wasn't lewd. No. It was just fun. And it was a rave and kind of, and it was one night. I think it was one night, wasn't it? Was it
just
Saturday
once,
or something?
Yeah.
And, but you're like, my wife, she's like, I'm not going in out of protest. I'm not going in. I'm out here going. And I would check on her every now and then. Well, you know, take another hit. And I'll go back. Hey, woo-hoo, we're dancing. You know? But the, so it's not for everybody, but.
And there was a drag show, one of those, one year.
I'm sure. I think I remember there being. But what's happening now is not that. It's sexualizing children. It's like recruiting. It's normalization. It's not fun.
Is it though? I mean, have you been to a drag queen story? How do you know?
No, it's the rhetoric. I've seen, you know, the news card, the stories, the events that they put on, the videos from it. I'm going, who does this serve? I'm not sure what is trying to be accomplished.
I get it. I get questioning the motives. It can seem like kind of weird. Like, for instance, like Bonnie's perspective is
weird. Not even the word, man.
Well,
it's
like
weird.
Bonnie's viewpoint is like she doesn't really even want to do this because she doesn't want to spend time around kids. I don't have any interest in that either. But some people do, and obviously some parents value this. So I guess that is the open question here: is why would you want to bring your kids to a drag queen story hour as a parent? Let's go to the phones here, caller. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What's your name?
Hey, it's Talk Guy. Tango Alpha Whiskey Kilo.
Talk what?
Hey. Talk. Tango Alpha Whiskey Kilo.
Okay. What's on your mind tonight?
Ernest. Hey, good to hear you. Listen to your program a lot, and I was curious. Your dome structures are really, really good idea. Yeah. And I was curious if you had one that you could steer me towards that is on a cave. Have you got one that's like a half dome on a cave? Has anyone built one?
On a cave?
It'd be like the front of the cave.
Like
an amphitheater kind of half dome thing coming out to, you know.
We're talking about home construction, monolithic.
Right,
and
what he's talking about is Donna and I, my wife and I, we went on the Love Bus Liberty Tour. We have a MCI 1980 bus that we pimped out and we tow a little Jeep behind it, and we have a studio in it and so on. And we've been traveling, start of COVID. You picked the worst time to do it. Did I? So we are now going to be building our home in Phoenix. I promised my wife that she'd go on with this trip. We'd liquidate everything, give it to our kids and grandkids, get all the stuff in storage. Then we go back to Phoenix, and I get her in the desert somewhere within an hour of grandkid soccer games. That was the deal. So what we had planned is the reason we do domes is because you have the least amount of material to encompass the most amount of square footage. And it's really cheap. We built prototypes this last summer up in Washington State. I did one on a slab, cement, you know, brand new windows, doors, that kind of stuff. 30-foot workshop, and then a bunch of 16-footers that we did for, you know, hen houses and test domes and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we got the idea, you know, the technique down. Then we went to Phoenix, and last August when we were going to start this, and the price as a lamb was through the roof, and crypto and silver's down, and that wasn't the time. So what we decided is we'll go another year, and all of a sudden now it's starting to come down. You know, the land. So it looks like this fall we're doing it. Now we're up here. One of the reasons I'm up here in New England is a good friend of ours has a machine shop. We're going to be building a lot of the equipment that we need to build. So, yes, we have different techniques. A friend of ours, Mike Swatek, is doing aircrete, building blocks, dough. We just came from Midfest last month, and we were there helping him build, you know, his domes. He's doing for his sister on his land. And there's a lot of techniques. It's not necessarily about the dome. Now, we are just starting to we're building the web page now. It's called occupytheland.org. And the whole thing, all the problems that we have going, you need to occupy the land. You know, they don't want you. You own nothing, and here's your happy shot. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So the dome is not necessarily has to be a dome. And that's probably what we're going to be doing and so on. But
they are really cool, though. Like,
yeah,
as far
no,
as
we have an architect, John Holdman, one of our listeners, he's and a good friend of mine. He had really done a great job on this. And it had such an impact at Anarcapoco, a developer in Belize, Honduras, and Mexico and so on, you know, wants to do this, get hooked up with the architect and have me help market that kind of thing. And I was like, look, I got to build mine first, you know. But we have done the prototype. It's you could do a 22-foot dome for like $5,000.
22-foot diameter? Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing 30-foot. So what will happen is probably going to be, it's like five or six domes of design we have, and I can show you. But they're really cool. It's really inexpensive. They're really strong. They're really insulated. I'm really looking forward to doing it. We have a 20-acre property that we're pulling the trigger on probably by October because you don't build in the summer in Phoenix. But so it's the concept is not so much that it's a dome. It's get out of the cities. It is get and do what Jay's doing.
I think John Bush has been talking about that too, right?
I'm sorry?
I think John Bush has been pushing that idea too, right?
Get out of the cities. Yes, he has. And we offered to do a dome for him. You know, Derek Bros is doing, you know, in Mexico and all this. The problem is when they want to do anything other than just it's my property, mine, here's my fence, mine. And then you have people around you on their own property, and you have a community. But a lot of people, because, you know, we're all povertarians, you know, they got to do things in groups kind of thing, you know, to make it affordable. But you got to answer three questions for me. What do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? And what's your conflict resolution? You answer those three questions, and I'm interested. And they haven't been able to do that yet. Like Rogers Campground, where Porkfest is, Brian Becker, we went golfing yesterday, and he's, you know, for years, he's wanted
still talking
to buy,
about buying it.
He wants to buy Porkfest and sell lots and timeshare, however they want to do it. Okay, I got these three questions. What am I going to have to do to be in your community? What are you going to prevent me from doing? How many hogs does Jay get to have?
I want to say thanks to the call. Thanks, caller. I appreciate your question here tonight. Yeah, that's something that people have been talking about for years is buying Rogers Campground, which is the place where...
answer the three questions.
The Porcupine Freedom Festival has been going on for so long. It's been for sale for years. It's never
Crosby
found a buyer.
Like $3 million. Show me $3 million shares. $3 million.
Yeah, he hasn't lowered his price.
Yeah, $3 million.
Yeah. And, of course, you buy it for $3 million, you're inheriting a ton of problems, too, right? Like, there's a lot of issues with this campground.
Well, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's very effective. I'm sure it'd be profitable, but the problem is that, yeah, you know, you have a lot of infrastructure there. You know, you're up in New Hampshire, you know, and it's freaking cold, and you always got whatever problems. And
you can't open the place several months out of the year.
Well, he's like, and he's like 86 or something. He's
up there.
He's getting up there. And we go, you know, since, you know, God, for 10 years, we've gone golfing every year. And last year, you know, he's slowing down. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's not hitting it as far anymore. And so there is a lot of interest in buying it. But I tell you, traveling the country in the Love Bus, going back and forth, a lot of different festivals and so on, and a lot of activism we were doing on you know, the vaccine issue and such. Intentional communities is like the number one issue. Everybody wants to talk about that. We all need to move. Got to be kind of in faith, you know, strength in numbers.
But with your feet,
you know, eat and raise kids and whatever, and you know, be like Jay. You know, the Jay is a leader in his community here because he sets an example. You know, he has a place.
That's what a leader does.
He trains a lot of people, and he grows food. And he gets, when COVID started in the beginning of 20, Jay was like, oh, you can't sell your hogs and, you know, beef anymore? I'll buy it. It's mine now, you know? And it's just been such a great example. So I think the Free State Project, you guys are going to survive. You know, what a lot of people are going to be, it's going to be a food thing. This thing, blah, 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 it's going to be a food thing. It's going to come down to you be hungry, blah, blah, blah. So that's why I occupy the land. You want to raise your children yourself. You want to homeschool. You want to grow your own food, have clean water, not be too hot or too cold or too wet. You're going to have a place to do that. occupy the land. Where? I don't care. That's not the point. And what? I don't care. Just build something. But if you're going to be a community, you're going to have to, one, be an add to whatever community. You know, you take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going to try and do something intentional thing, then I need to know how you're going to structure it. But I've done a lot of interviews, talked to a lot of people, private membership association this, doing that. We're co-oping, you know, our food. Or
I heard the Seasteaders got another thing going again.
Of course they do.
Yeah. On you know, a barge or something, like a big ass.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I got the precariat, my pirate ship, you know. Who gets to be on my pirate ship? I don't know, man, but there is definitely a criteria.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Major Pain in the Butt calling from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Jay, I was going to ask you, aside from the, or in addition to the obvious sources, what are some places you like to look when you're shopping for a particular horse or two?
Well, so it would really depend on what kind of horse it is you want, because it's so broad. But I love horse auctions. I've been going to horse auctions my entire life. I actually did some real life auctioneering at Porcupine Freedom Festival a couple years ago. Actually, three times now. Once at Liberty Forum and twice at Pork Fest. But like, if you're looking to buy like a trail horse, or like you're looking to buy a good safe kid horse, you probably want to go. And I don't know what part of the country are you in, Major?
He's in New Mexico. I already put him on hold, but thank you for the call tonight.
So if you're in New Mexico and you're looking for a kid's horse, I would try to find a guy that trains reining horses, because reining horses seem to be the best disciplined horses, and they're usually kind of like, you know, they're smaller horses, a little lower.
What's a reining horse?
A reining horse is the one that they do, that they spin back and forth real fast. And then they stop and stand real good. So basically, for a kid's horse, a retired reining horse, or a trainer will be training these reining horses, and they just don't have the gas to really, like, do the high-energy reining. The horse would rather be sort of a mellow horse. That's, like, a really good kid's horse. If you're just looking to trail ride, and, you know, like, just ride around, like, not compete or whatever, like, going to an auction and buying a horse, you might have to buy a couple and weed them out and figure out, like, but I really like horse auctions because you're going to get a fair price on them. If you go to a horse dealer, if the dealer's been around for a while and has a good reputation, he probably won't screw you over too much. But horse traders are also known as, like, they're worse than used car dealers. Yeah, for example. So you got to kind of be careful.
They have a reputation.
Yes.
Out of time for tonight. If you didn't get in, well, call back tomorrow night. We'll do our best to get you on at that time. And once again, check out Ernie. He's got his own show, Declare Your Independence, over at freedomsphoenix.com. Jay Noon, raising money for a man camp, coming up here at Porkfest. You've got such a few weeks to get to your $5,000 goal.
Yep.
And
I always ask, I go, what about the women? He goes, they're just a man with a womb.
JayNoone.com. We'll see you.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.